Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Scott Kirshner is the innovation economy columnist at the Boston Globe, and as such, he's a man in the know.
And last year, we had him on the program when Business Week published its list of the 10 best cities for tech startups. Cambridge was the only Massachusetts city to make the list, and it topped out at sixth place.
Now, at the time, Kirshner said he believed Boston had a PR problem because, as he put it, Massachusetts is top-notch at a number of things.
We take this nascent technology that's developed in an MIT lab or one of the great schools around here, and we commercialize it and get it out of the lab and turn it into a product, whether that's a new drug or whether it's a new lithium-ion battery like A123 Systems. They were the biggest, most successful IPO of 2009 was a Massachusetts company. Or as the governor was just talking about, all kinds of clean tech and energy-related innovation. So we're really good at that. It's just, you know, we don't have that Steve Jobs gene of marketing it along the way.
So that was Scott Kirshner last year. Imagine our surprise when this week Kirshner blogged that Boston does not have a PR problem. No. Now he says the problem is much bigger than that.
He writes, we're a second-tier financial services town. Second-tier technology town, a second-tier retail town, second-tier defense contracting town.
And then he really twists the knife, writing, we're number two, but our sense of entitlement keeps us from trying harder. A2, Scott? Really? Number two?
I guess every columnist has optimistic days and pessimistic days, but, you know, I think it's hard to... You know, today the news was Filene's Basement is declaring bankruptcy again and probably isn't going to survive this bankruptcy. So like another great Massachusetts retailer going down. And I think if you, you know, if you look at it hard, I think both things really are PR problems. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on here, but we need to focus on the sectors where we can say Massachusetts is a world leader in this industry. And, you know, that's what attracts talent to the state. Not saying, you know, oh, yeah, we sort of have a financial services community here.
Okay, so just listeners, to be clear, that Scott Kirshner that you just heard is live in our studios today. That's not him on tape.
I hate to think of how this tape will be used in the future.
We live in the moment, Scott. But I actually say, for our listeners' sake, I mean, I read the blog post that you put up, but provide me with a few more reasons as to why you think that across the board, as you wrote, Boston seems to be second tier.
It just feels like... you know, when you see what's happening in the, you know, for good or ill, you know, a lot of cities around the country have a reputation and a sort of brand that they promote. I mean, Silicon Valley, with the death of Steve Jobs, with the dominance of Facebook, you know, is obviously the capital of technology. We could play word association games where, you know, if I say Houston, you would probably say
oil
industry, right? If I say Nashville, you'd probably think
music.
Right. And I just don't think Boston is communicating anything in the global economy right now, aside from this is a great place to come and get an education.
So, although, is it such a bad thing that Boston may not be, you know, super famous for one thing, but rather instead it's great at a lot of things? I mean, I would think that being second tier, but in a wide variety of industries and sectors, is actually a signal of overall strength that other cities don't have because they're so highly dependent on one sector.
You know, I like that diversification. And so if you have a market meltdown, you know, or if you're totally, I'm from Florida, you know, if the whole state is built on real estate speculation and housing developments and the real estate industry goes bust, that really becomes a lot more painful. So I do like the diversification. But I think that if you're thinking about young people who've just gotten an education or who grew up in New England or trying to figure out where they start their careers, I think you have to telegraph really loudly, you know, what your city, what your state is about to them, so they kind of understand as they're making decisions about where they want to start their life. Our big problem in New England is that we're losing young people. You know, this region, all the New England states are getting older and older every time they do a census. Mm-hmm. And so I think the key problem is communicating to young people that we want to retain and encourage them to start companies or work for the companies that are already here.
Okay, I want to bring in another voice into this conversation briefly to maybe sort of delve deeper into what's going on in the psyche of the Boston area. Saul Kaplan is founder of the Business Innovation Factory in Rhode Island, and he's former economic development chief for Rhode Island. He joins us today from Providence. Welcome to Radio Boston, Saul.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having me today. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Saul.
It's great to have you, Saul. And Scott obviously referenced you in his blog post at boston.com. But I just wanted to ask you to sort of maybe share with listeners what you told Scott, that basically we have a psychological problem. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, Scott and I have had this conversation. I'm not sure that what we have is a PR problem. I do think it's deeper than that. I think we have bad psychology. I mean, people often ask me, you know, what's the one thing you would do to turn around our economy? And immediately, you know, I respond, change our psychology. I mean, we just don't feel good about ourselves. We have a very healthy New England cynicism. Right, and believe me, I am a New Englander, and I can be just as cynical as the next person, but I think our cynicism is getting in our way. I mean, we don't have to be Silicon Valley. We have amazing assets. We have the most amazing and deep pool of brain power here. So, I mean, I don't think the concern is brain drain. I think the concern is how do we turn our psychology around, begin to think more positively about what we can do, and tap into the incredible brain power that we have throughout New England. You know, John Maynard Keynes talked about unleashing the animal spirits, you know, is really what the economy is about. I mean, think about it. The economy really is just a sum total of the choices we make every day. It's whether we hire one more employee or whether we invest one more dollar at the margin. And an economy is just the sum total of those choices. Mm-hmm. If you're not positive about the prospects to hire that employee or invest that dollar, you don't.
Saul, really, let me jump in here and ask you, though. So you said that being cynical is as central to the New England DNA as, well, I guess, being cynical about the Red Sox. But I got to ask you, like, does that, maybe we can provide a little reality check here. So maybe we think we're second tier, but does the rest of the nation see it that way? Maybe they don't see it that way.
I'm not sure they do. I mean, if you travel around the country, do you know how many places would kill to have the college and university resources that we have, you know, to have the well-educated workforce, you know, that we have here in New England?
Exactly. I mean, so I guess I'm saying, what's the problem? If everyone else doesn't see it that way and we do, maybe a little modesty isn't so bad.
I mean, I often wonder, you know, when we're going to break through a lot of the silos that we've created. I mean, I really think the gold is in the gray area between our silos, our sectors, and our disciplines. I mean, these are all remnants of an industrial economy. I mean, in the 21st century economy, we really have to think and act more horizontally and do what I call, you know, create more collisions of unusual suspects.
Scott, jump
in. That's where we're going to create the new enterprises. That's where the, you know, the next generation of new companies are going to come from.
You know, it's funny. I was having lunch with someone from San Francisco or from Palo Alto today, and they have 12-point-something% unemployment in California. We have 7-point-something in Massachusetts. So by that measure, Massachusetts is doing pretty great. And yet, you know, the Bay Area is such a magnet for talent. You played the Mark Zuckerberg clip, the founder of Facebook, earlier in the show.
And we'll hear a little more from him later.
You know, and so that was a Harvard dropout going to Palo Alto to start his company. And he was actually speaking at an event that's run by this kind of startup finishing school or cultivation program that was founded here in Cambridge and has since relocated to Silicon Valley.
Well, Scott, since you actually mentioned Zuckerberg and what he said, why don't we just go ahead and listen to a little bit more? So basically, as you were saying, he was at a Stanford University conference just last month, and the conference was, I believe, called Startup School. And as you point out, started here, but now out there. And for people who don't know or don't remember, Mark Zuckerberg is, of course, the founder of Facebook, and he started it in his Harvard dorm room, moved out to California because he couldn't get adequate venture capital funding here. So you'd have to argue that maybe as a whole, Silicon Valley has been good for him. But at the Stanford conference, Zuckerberg said something else. He said this.
It's not the only place to be, I think. I think it's actually, if you're a beginner and you don't know anything about this stuff, it's actually an excellent place to be, because a lot of the stuff that you wouldn't understand how to do on your own, like I didn't, I could just get help from a lot of other people. But honestly, if I were starting now, I just would have stayed in Boston, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
There are aspects of the culture out here where I think, like, it still is a little bit short-term focused.
Okay, so the Boston area swooned when the Zuck said he might have stayed here. But on the other hand, I think that maybe our excitement was a little premature, because something else happened about a minute later in the Q&A. Let's listen.
So you would have stayed in Boston.
I don't know, maybe.
The reporters
I like New York, too.
The reporters in Boston will love that.
I'm not sure. I haven't run that experiment. But I think it's definitely an option.
But what about all the sort of serendipitous things that happened to you out here?
Oh, no, I knew nothing, so I had to be out here. Facebook would not have worked if I'd stayed in Boston. But, like, I think that now, knowing more of what I know, I think I might have been able to pull it off.
So, Scott Kersner, in a way, it seems that Mark Zuckerberg is exactly proving your point, that maybe this is not the place. One of the reasons why Boston may be, quote-unquote, second tier is because it's not a good place to nurture sort of raw talent, and they have to go elsewhere to sort of become fully-fledged business people.
Well, there's that, and there's also, you know, the one place where I think Boston is top tier right now is in the life sciences, you know, is in trying to cure incurable diseases and develop medical devices and procedures that are going to help keep us all alive longer and maybe even reduce the cost of, you know, of healthcare. So, but I think, unfortunately, we're not doing a good job to communicate that, you know, this is the world capital of life sciences. In the life sciences, there's so much talent here, and that's why you see Pfizer and Novartis and every big biotech and pharma company coming here to set up research centers and to set up outposts. You know, they want to tap into the talent pool. I think the thing you heard in that Zuckerberg quote is because we're not a giant tech monster right now, he couldn't have hired the people he needed to hire for Facebook. You know, he didn't have Google right next door. 10% of Facebook's early employees came from Google. So it was like that was a giant hunting ground for him to hire employees from. You just don't have the consumer internet companies in Boston that he could have used to help build Facebook.
Except now that he's the giant, he's coming back out here, I believe, next week to sort of maybe poach some talent from Harvard and MIT. He's actually on a scouting mission, I believe, to look for new engineers and computer programmers.
Yeah, I think it's happening Monday at Harvard and MIT. And, you know, students have to submit their resumes to even get into the meeting with Mark Zuckerberg.
Interesting, because that's it sort of dovetails with what you quoted, Mark Andreessen, the co-founder of Netscape, saying that the brain drain from Boston to Silicon Valley has all but gutted Boston as a place for high-tech startups.
That was a really painful quote. I do think with regard to Facebook, you know, it does seem inevitable that as they keep growing, I would bet money that they'll set up some kind of satellite office in Boston or Cambridge. But you know, it doesn't alleviate the pain.
All right, listeners. So what do you make of what you've heard so far? Is Boston a second tier city in tech, finance, retail, or any industry? And if you think so, why? Or I guess I'm going to ask you this question as well. Do you think that we're missing the forest for the trees here, that Boston's rich mix of businesses gives it an edge that other cities don't have? And Scott Kersner also alluded to something else quite powerful, that in reality, is Boston competing against New York, Silicon Valley, and Chicago, or against global players like Shanghai and Bangalore? And if so, what would you do to make Boston a top-tier world city? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Scott and Saul, if you stand by for just a moment, I want to bring in a Boston booster, if I can call him that. He is Bill Warner. He is founder of Avid Technology and Wildfire Communications. He's now an angel investor out of Cambridge, and his investing company is called CoFlow Investing. Bill Warner, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
So what do you make of what you've heard so far? Is Boston second tier?
Oh, man, I disagree on this stuff so much, Scott. Scott, is that the Scott I know? I feel like I'm in some sort of time machine, and we're back 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I started the Young Conference in 2008, and these were the kind of conversations we're having. Having them now, I think, is not really relevant. We're not playing a PR game. We're playing a game of innovation. And I started my investing company because there's so much innovation happening here. I invest in companies all the time with talent that's here that's amazing. I don't look at it and say, oh, you should go to California. I have some companies that are in California. Sometimes California's the best thing. Sometimes Boston's the best thing. But to make a blanket statement that we're not the best thing for technology, I very much disagree.
Scott, he's thrown down the gauntlet. What do you have to say?
I don't know, Bill. I want to be a booster, too, at times. But I also feel, you know, I see all of these examples of, you know, particularly young graduates who, for whatever reason, you know, they're attracted to some program, whether it's Y Combinator or 500 Startups or one of the Bay Area programs. I mean, we could even take Green Goose, which is a startup that you invested in, which, you know, the Boston area provided them so much support. You provided them some funding. But that's a company that ultimately, after spending some time in Providence, spending some time in Cambridge, wound up being based in San Francisco.
So the first of all, I don't consider myself a booster. I consider myself an investor. My focus here is to invest in our local ecosystem, which I think is a phenomenal investment. I think that companies get started and they ought to go where it makes sense for them to grow. I think if you look at the history of Boston, companies have started here and lots of them have moved elsewhere. Boston is not focused really on scaling up businesses the way other areas are. Automobiles actually started here and moved to Detroit. Now, do we bemoan that we don't have the auto industry? You know, I think that Boston's history is one of very early stage innovation and not as big a focus on the second part of it. But I think that to sort of paint Boston with this brush, I'm telling you, it makes me mad.
But Bill, let me ask you a question. One point that Scott made in his blog was that he feels that, and Scott, correct me if I'm misinterpreting you, but I think I've got it down, that Boston basically has to play a retention game. That, you know, we look to our local talent pool of people who either grew up here, so have a real strong emotional attachment to the region, or they came here for an education to go to college or graduate school, and then by virtue of inertia or falling in love with the place, they stay here too. But what Boston isn't doing is attracting people outside of that realm, people who might come here simply because it is Boston and there is a great company X, or there's a great culture of encouraging really unexpected and maybe risky young entrepreneurs, that we have a narrow pool of talent from which to choose.
Well, I think that hot companies that are growing are the biggest attractor, and that is clearly a difference. You know, California does have more big companies. I think when it comes to talent, we have great schools that are bringing the talent here, and people are coming up with great ideas here. We have, at the UnConference, for example, that just happened, we had 130 experts that were all meeting with entrepreneurs one-on-one to help them. We have a huge pool of talent here. And I'm not trying to deny some of the issues that Scott brings up, but I do feel very strongly that it doesn't pay, it doesn't make sense really to start, you know, focusing on sort of branding yourself as what tier you're in. I think that is wrong. I think that Boston is a unparalleled city in terms of innovation over a long haul.
Bill, let me just jump in here because there's a lot. No problem. Bill, Scott, and Saul, please all stand by for a second because there are a lot of people, a lot of listeners who have something to say about this. Lee is calling from Providence. You're on the air, Lee.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Just on the point that was made earlier about Boston needing a psychological makeover, in a sense. I've been a New Englander for my whole life. I'm 25. I'm a recent graduate, and actually I'm a full-time musician. And I can say that I think the biggest problem about this area is the psychological factor. You know, there lacks... There's sort of an isolationist perspective about New England in general, which I feel like keeps the community from branching out, you know, and reaching out to other parts of the country or even other cities like New York or like the West Coast. You know, I'm a graduate of Berklee College of Music. I've been to 40 out of 50 states, and even I moved to New York for a while in search of more fertile ground because I felt like I couldn't really start anything real here. I've since changed my mind about that, but I still think that the community as a whole lacks in some ways a larger perspective.
Lee, thank you so much for your call. So in the spirit of that call, I want to reach out outside of the Boston area and actually down to Austin, Texas, to maybe get a sense as to how things are different in another part of the country. So let me introduce Dave Porter. He is Senior Vice President for Economic Development at the Austin Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Porter, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And you're speaking, of course, with us from Austin today. So tell me briefly, I mean, Austin keeps popping up as a name of a city that's got a lot of exciting things going on. It's attracting young talent, whether or not they went to school at the University of Texas there. You guys have a particular plan that the city and the Chamber of Commerce has sort of championed over the past couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'll be happy to. Before I do that, just a couple, just a quick comment. You know, one thing that we continue to see right now, especially during this down cycle or this recession, are companies taking a look at their bottom line. So tax structure is very important. You know, you talk about Boston, you talk about California, and the business environments out there, while they're conducive for innovation, they're terrible to keep businesses.
Whereas in Texas, there's no corporate
there's
or personal
no corporate
income tax.
No, you know, we have our tax structure here, but there's no corporate income tax, no personal income tax.
Okay, so that's in the sort of public policy tax side of things. But what is it that Austin has in terms of a plan of sort of making the entire city as a whole a more attractive place for smart people?
A lot of this came out of the tech bust back in 2000. You know, until you can feel the pain and you lose a lot of jobs, it seemed at that time back in 2003 that the business community decided enough's enough. We got to do something different to market ourselves to create and diversify the economic base. You know, we've kept doing the same things over and over.
And so how are you doing that? How are you
well,
making the diversification?
Some of the things, you know, Scott was talking about a PR. You know, what one of the things that we decided to do is reach out globally to tell the companies throughout the world that Austin, Texas is open for business. And if you fall within these certain tech sectors, we would love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really kind of basic 101 marketing. This is what Austin, Texas is all about. This is the quality of life. This is how affordable we are. Young people today are flocking to come to places like Austin. It's affordable. You know, for a $60,000, $70,000 software job, engineer job, you can live pretty nicely here. Mm. I don't know what that does in Boston.
It doesn't get you far, but not that far. Dave Porter, in Austin, Texas, stand by for just a moment because I am running down on time here, and I want to get a chance to give our other guests an opportunity to respond. Scott Kersner, I mean, you've mentioned Austin before as a place that's doing something slightly different. What do you hear in the story of that city that we're not doing here in Boston?
One thing that they sort of almost, I guess you guys sort of haphazardly grew down there was the Alternative Weekly started this music festival called South by Southwest that turned into a film festival and a technology festival. And Dave, what does that attract, like 30,000 people to Austin once a year?
Oh, it's about 120,000.
Okay, so I'm off a little bit. But, you know, to have something like that that brings technology people and creative people from all over the world to your city once a year is great. And, you know, I'd love to have something like that in Boston. I actually think Providence has something like that with Waterfire. I went to that recently, and, you know, that's like 10, 15,000 people walking around downtown Providence at night.
Bill Warner, your thoughts?
I'm sorry. One of the things I would comment on, we just visited Austin on a project we're doing together with Babson, looking at entrepreneurship. And one thing that hit me, I mean, I love the idea of Keep Austin Weird, you know, this slogan that reminds everyone of the respect of the diversity of ideas. They organize around scenes in Austin. And one thing we don't have here in New England is this fluidity across these silos. When you go around Austin, you see a really healthy respect for and desire to learn outside of our sectors and silos. We need to get much better at that. We need to build more collaboration muscle across these silos.
Let me jump in here because I want to give Bill Warner a chance here before we run out of time. Bill, your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, my thoughts are that, you know, that the last 4 years I've spent a lot of time on Boston and the ecosystem, and to me it's gotten phenomenally better. And there's so much more openness, there's so much more energy and excitement, there's so many more places where entrepreneurs can work that are affordable. You know, so to me, this discussion, that's why I said I feel like I'm in a time machine. I feel like this is a discussion from 4 years ago. The Boston of today, I just don't see it that way. I see it as vibrant and growing and attracting people from around the region. And I think the future is great, and I'm excited. So,
but on the other hand, I mean, as Scott noted, and Scott, I'm going to give you the last word. As you say, where there's this constant question of like who's leaving versus who's coming. And let's look. If we're on a time machine, let's have this time machine look forward. What would you like to see Boston do? I mean, beyond the festival circuit, that might actually, you know, push it into the top tier psychologically, as we've been discussing.
Well, I think it's not just about saying we lead in life sciences, but it's looking for other industries, whether it's, you know, robotics, whether it's digital marketing, where we can be a world leader. And I think it's totally about focusing on young people and saying, how do you move the needle with kids graduating from college and just getting a 2%, 3%, 4% more of them to stick around?
Scott Kersner, innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe. Thank you so much. I hope we didn't beat you up too much.
No, I enjoyed it.
Saul Kaplan, founder of the Business Innovation Factory in Rhode Island. Thank you. And Bill Warner, founder of Avid Technologies and Wildfire Communications, great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Dave Porter, thank you so much for joining us from Austin, Texas as well.
Thanks, everybody.
Dave Porter is the Senior Vice President for Economic Development at the Austin Chamber of Commerce. Listeners, comment online, radioboston.org. Coming up after the break, Bill Littlefield and sports. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.